Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Dawn B., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Southern California. Today is Monday, July 11th, 2022, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book, and we're on page 14, the first paragraph, Simple But Not Easy, ending with, Who Presides Over Us All. Reading and commenting on that one paragraph only. Today's readers are the 12 Steps, Becca R., 12 Traditions, Lily M. Reader of the text this morning is Kara L. Shelley E. will read page 164, and our backup reader is Stephanie L. The reference number for Sunday, July 10th, is 19,161. That's 19161. And for this morning, Monday, July 11th, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, the reference number is 19,162. That's 19162. Our newcomer greeter for this morning will be Mary B., and Robin P. will do the announcements. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Becca R. to read the 12 steps. Good morning, Becca.
Good morning. It's Becca R., recovering compulsive overeater, calling in from Kentucky. These are the 12 steps. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for the knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thanks for letting me be of service, Becca.
Thank you so much, Becca R. I'll now ask Lily M. to read the 12 traditions. Good morning, Lily.
Good morning, everybody. Thank you for the opportunity to be of service. My name is Lily M., and I'm from Idaho. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Number one, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Number two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Number three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Number four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Number five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message, the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible for those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the foundation. Number 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you, Dawn, and thank you for your service.
Thank you so much, Lily M. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, and then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book. We're on page 14, the first paragraph, simple but not easy, ending with, who presides over us all. We're reading and commenting on that one paragraph only. I will now ask Kara L. to read and share with us. Good morning, Kara. Star 1, Kara.
Sorry about that. Good morning, Dawn. This is Kara L., recovered compulsive overeater from Long Beach, California. Simple, but not easy. The price had to be paid. It meant destruction of self-centeredness. I must turn in all things to the Father of Light who proceeds over us all. Oh, what a powerful, short and simple paragraph. And I find, for me, when I read these words, it is an incredible reminder of what is the center of my program. Where, you know, yes, I have a food plan. Yes, I have sponsees. Yes, I go to meetings. And yes, I use all the tools. But what is the foundation, you know, the cornerstone of my program? It's the destruction of self-centeredness. It's the reliance on a power greater than myself. And, you know, I know that our steps are set up to help me do that, right? The steps show me, step 12, not only is it work with others, but it's, you know, the end result of these steps is a connection with a higher power. And for me, that's what really changed when I had a spiritual awakening. I have been in this program 19 years now, and it's only been the last 3 years that I really had that destruction of self-centeredness and that trust in a higher power that really changed and elevated my program, that gave me in absolute the promises. And today, you know, I work these steps diligently and I use the tools diligently so I can keep that connection, so I can keep building on that relationship with a higher, a power greater than myself. Because I know today that's where my answer is. And the steps really help me when my self-centeredness, it rises and I think I can do it or I got to figure it out. The steps help me show me where I'm doing that. And then they allow me to get back in tune with my higher power and just say, you know, I don't know. I don't know what is best and I need help, please. And to say, please give me intuitive thought, inspiration, or decision. And I practice that throughout the whole day. I stop and ask my higher power all day long, what do you think? Can you help me here? I don't know. With the smallest things, you know, I ask about my food, I ask about what I'm wearing, I ask whenever the thought comes, it's an opportunity for that moment of prayer when I ask, and meditation when I slow down and I listen. And that for me has made a huge difference in my program and in my life, is that destruction of self-centeredness and that utmost and entire reliance on a power greater than myself. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Kara L., for getting us started. I'm now going to be opening up the line to take the names of people who would like to share on this paragraph. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So who would like to share with us on this paragraph?
Kim J.
Kim J.
Bruce E.
Bruce E.
Devorah L.
And who is Devorah L. and Stephanie L.
Deborah G.
Donna B.
Okay, there was somebody after Stephanie L.
Deborah G.
And Donna. Okay, and let's stop there. I have Kim J., Bruce E., Devorah L., Stephanie L., Deborah G., and Donna B., I think it is. And did I miss anyone? Okay, let's start with Kim J. Thank you so much, Kim. Would you please share with us and let us know where you're calling from?
Good morning. This is Kim J. from Arkansas, and I'm a recovered compulsive eater and bulimic. I just wanted to say on this, simple but not easy, a price had to be paid. And that price was the destruction of my ginormous ego. That's what blocked me from that power that I had to have to recover. 20 years, I was 20 years in the 12-step program, and I was still, my ego was still trying to run the show. Even my program, I wanted to do it my way, and that just never worked. But working the steps with a recovered sponsor and being entirely abstinent, that did it. That did the trick for me. It brought my ego down to its right size. And it wasn't easy. It was simple, but it wasn't easy because my ego was not going to go down without a fight. But I'm just grateful. I'm humbly grateful that, for this program, and that my ego is now down to its right size. Thank you, and I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Kim J. from Arkansas. Bruce E., will you share with us, please?
Yes, thank you. Glad to. Happy to be on the line, and been trying to get on here for a while and share. It hadn't just come up yet until this morning, and say, yeah, I got to do this. This is a great paragraph. Been a little distracted. I had a friend that was coming from another country and said, hey, I want to come and visit you guys, stay a while with you. And I thought it was him and his wife and kids. Like, I thought his kids were like 2, 4, and 6. Turned out he came with his wife and sister-in-law and another lady, 4 adults, and then kids that were a baby, 2-year-old and a 4-year-old. So I got a little surprised there, but I learned something from them so far. that I just had to give up everything and let go and not worry about them wrecking the house. And they haven't broken anything yet, so it's gone pretty good. So I learned something there. But simple, but not easy. You know, that's what life is. It's simple, but not easy. And the steps, simple, but not easy. In other, what I see in that, the word easy, is I got to do some work. And that's what it's been. You know, it is pretty simple and clear. But man, it isn't easy. It's been hard. It's because I've had to really put in time and sacrifice to work this thing, you know. And then when I got some people that were, you know, wanted me to sponsor them, man, it, you know, then more work came in there because that was a matter of putting down self-centeredness. So it had meant destruction of self-centeredness. And selfishness, self-centeredness. So I think in our predecessor, one of our predecessor groups, the Oxford group, the two main points there were fear and selfishness. I had to get rid of those two. And that's been the case with me, fear and selfishness. So it says it right here, that it meant destruction of self-centeredness. So that, how do I destroy the self-centeredness by trying to help other people and by going through this painful life. Life is, for me, has been amazingly painful. But the pain keeps bringing me back to my higher power. Keeps bringing me back. I get the pain, I go back to my higher power. Get some more pain, go back to my higher power. Keep going back. And that helps to get rid of selfishness and self-centeredness. Relationships with others, they're so painful and difficult. And thank you very much, and I pass.
Thank you, Bruce E. from Florida. Devorah L., will you share with us, please?
Hey, good morning. It's Devorah S., like in Surrender in New Jersey. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, sure can.
Great. Okay, hi, everybody. Devorah S. recovered, and grateful to be here. Simple but not easy. A price had to be paid. So when I came into this program over 20 years ago, I didn't find it simple. I mean, I had to get abstinent and do all the stuff around getting abstinent. You know, I got a food plan and weighing and measuring and calling my sponsor and all the tools of the program. It was like a full-time job for me. I felt like everything, you know, my whole world evolved around me and my world of weighing and measuring, getting to meetings and doing what I wanted. And as time progressed, it really, my price paid because it wasn't working. I wasn't changing. Yes, my food was clean and I lost a lot of weight and everything. But the price that I paid was bringing more and more destruction to my relationships here and not living in the solution. Everything was all about me and my program and what everyone had to do so it would work for me until I started working the steps. Then I saw where I was the root of everything, where my self-centeredness and my selfishness and my fear really brought havoc and destruction to everyone around me. So I needed to really, you know, surrender to all that and get honest. You know, the previous paragraph talks about, you know, belief in the power of God plus enough willingness, honesty, and humility to establish the new order of things in that. That's what I needed to do. I needed to surrender not just my food, but everything else, and to look at me and to see what I need to bring to the front here. And, you know, thank you, God. You know, it's a very simple program, but it takes work, and the benefits are unimaginable. Thank you, God. So today, you know, yes, I'm abstinent, but I'm looking to see where I can be of service to others. And pressing *1 on the telephone and letting myself share so that others could have perhaps can learn from my experience, strength, and hope is the first step. Because honestly, it's very difficult for me to press *1. I think, oh, you know, what I say, what's not so important. Other people have said it. But it's that self-centered fear that gets me down, thinking about only me and myself and not what I could bring home. And So really grateful for the opportunity. Every day is an opportunity where I can, where I could get rid of this self-centeredness and to be of service to others, no matter what is going on. I could do that, and I'm really, really grateful that God has bestowed this on me, that I could, that I have this availability to be of service. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Devorah S. from New Jersey. Stephanie L., will you share with us, please? Star one, Stephanie.
I'm just talking away all to myself. So good morning, everyone. Stephanie L., recovered compulsive overeater in Southern California. And what a amazing paragraph. Simple but not easy, a price had to be paid. You know, it meant destruction of self-centeredness. Well, here's the deal, and here's what I've learned here, is I am the problem. You know, I can't stop being selfish on my own power. I just can't. I can try. I can have all these, like, you know, these moral goals, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that, and I'm going to be this, and I'm going to be that. But page 62 tells me that selfishness, self-centeredness, that we think is the root of our troubles, driven by 100 forms of fear, self-delusion, self-seeking, and self-pity. We step on the toes of our fellows, and they retaliate. So it tells me that, you know, I am the issue. And so I have to find this Father of Light who presides over us all. And that's the good news. The good news is that can I solve, first of all, I can't solve this food problem on my own. And second of all, I can't change this way of looking at the world without God, without God's grace and God's power, you know? And so how do I get there? Well, I get a sponsor, I work the steps. What is the price? The price is, yes, this program isn't easy, right? It sounds easy, but then you start doing it. No, it's not that easy, but so is being in the food. And so the price is, you know, I have to quit playing God. I have to turn everything over. I have to concede that, you know, this Father of Light who takes me out of the darkness, right? I love that Father of Light, because in the food for me was very dark. This Father of Light is my loving father, or, you know, mother, whatever your higher power is. But, you know, like this Father of Light is my director, it's my boss. And then on page 63, then it tells me I get to be reborn. I get to live differently, right? And it doesn't mean that I get abstinent, I work the steps, and now life is all rainbows and unicorns and everything is perfect. No, the selfishness crops up, the ego rebuilds. It's like, it's a continual thing, you know? So when I do screw up and I do act out of my selfishness or my fear, or I buy into those dishonest thoughts that tell me I'm owed this and I need this and blah, 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 I can talk to someone, I can pray, I can talk to someone about it, and I can regroup and get back on the path. And that to me is amazing, right? And I'm so grateful for this chance to work towards being different today with, you know, with God and all of you. So thank you for letting me share. I'll pass.
Thank you, Stephanie L. from California. Deborah G., please share with us, followed by Donna B., and then I'll be opening up the line to take more names. If you're just joining us, we are on page 14, the first paragraph, simple but not easy, and we're reading and commenting on that first full paragraph only. Deborah G., please share with us.
Oh, thank you, Dawn. Thank you for being of service today and everyone that's made this meeting possible and all the shares. Thank you for 12-stepping me this morning, keeping me reminded, and I'm just so grateful for this meeting this morning to start my day and hear all that I'm hearing. And I'm Deborah G. from Arizona. And, you know, I recently had, my head was going in self-centered stories. I'll tell you some of the stories I've come up with in that self-centeredness, just so far out there. It never is reality. It's never reality. It's just all stories. Self, 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 ego, ego, self, 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 you know. And so I'm so grateful because of doing this work, these beautiful 12 steps, living them, not doing them, but living them, that I was able to see that. Before, I lived in that constantly, and just the only relief was the food. That's all I ever thought of for a solution. So I had that awareness, and what I did was I took it to a 10th step. I asked God to remove it, and I didn't owe any amends because I was to myself, because I was doing it to myself. And then I was able to do outreach calls. I worked with two sponsees, you know, and I had an experience again of how much power that power has in step two, because it shifted. It shifted. And I didn't feel good when I was in that self-centered story stuff. But after I did the work with helping others, reaching out to other people and getting the focus off of me and them, oh, the shift was so beautiful. I felt good. And when I feel good, I'm not looking for ease and comfort in the food. So, oh, what a beautiful way to live. And thank you all for reminding me of that.
Thank you, Deborah G. from Arizona. Donna B., please share with us, and then I'll be opening up the line to take more names. Go ahead, Donna.
Good morning. This is Donna B., a recovered compulsive overeater and bulimic, calling from Denver. Thank you, everybody, for your service. I have been struggling in a space of self-centeredness. I will be turning 47 in October, which I understand in the big picture is not old, but I've been struggling with the aging process and grieving a lot of the changes in my body and in my mind. I have arthritis in my big toe. I also have a chronic illness called interstitial cystitis. And I have been finding difficulty with finding words and remembering things. So each time I feel a pain in my body, or each time I feel that I cannot find a word, or each time I hear myself say, I can't remember, I forgot, I'm overwhelmed with a feeling of fear and that I'm spiraling into despair and that I'm losing the person that I was. And that feels like a type of destruction, and a challenging one that I know many, many people have gone through before me, and I know that I'm not alone in going through it in this moment. And there are simple things that I can do that others have mentioned. I've been writing a lot of inventory and allowing myself to feel that fear and to communicate that fear through writing to my higher power and sharing that with my sponsor. I have also continued to be a sponsor. I had the opportunity yesterday to read the doctor's opinion with the new sponsee, and she commented on the conclusion, like just feeling like something had shifted. And I said, yeah, that's hope. That's what hope feels like. And today I'll listen to a fifth step. So it's not easy. Aging myself and watching the aging of others is challenging. And that's my 3 minutes. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Donna B. And I'm now going to be opening up the lines to take the names of those people who would like to share. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So who would like to share on this paragraph, page 14, the first paragraph, simple but not easy?
Clear
I would like
day.
To share.
Becca R.
I didn't get that. Okay, I heard Becca R. And who were the ones that already announced besides Becca R.?
Irene B.
And who else? Becca R., Irene B. And who is the other voice? Okay, who else would like to share?
Betsy O.
Betsy
Nadia B.
L. Nadia B.
Lee Esther Jack J.
Who is that?
Joe. Lee Esther J.
Lee Esther J.
Yes.
Okay, very good. I have Donna. I have Becky R., Irene B., Betsy L., Nadia B., and Cleester J. Was there someone I missed? Okay, let's go with that. Becky R., please share with us and let us know where you're calling from.
Hey, good morning. It's Becca R. from Kentucky, recovering compulsive overeater. Thanks for the meeting. Thanks for the fellowship. I wanted to just comment on the simple but not easy. I am having some, what feels like to me, some big stuff going on within my marriage and with parents and my children. And it all brings me back to step one of I'm powerless. I'm powerless over other people. I'm powerless over my husband. I'm powerless over my kids and their destinies. Like, I'm powerless. And the powerlessness reminds me that there is one who has all power, and that one is God. It's in that same broken, empty spot I felt on my knees with food that I feel now with these big, heavy topics in my life. But I hear God knocking on the door saying, but this is where you can let me in. So I'm really grateful to be in this state where I'm connected to a higher power, where I'm connected to fellows, because it's a really empty feeling. My husband and I are having some big disagreements on parenting, and I love that I can call and speak with my fellows, and we can talk program, and I feel connected to God. And you guys aren't giving me advice or telling me what I should do or not do, but you're just reading the sounding board and ultimately reminding me that this higher power that removes the desire to eat compulsively, to volume eat, to binge purge, throw up, over exercise, this God that removed all those things can also take care of me and my kids and my marriage and all this, everything. So I'm really glad to be here this morning. Thanks for listening. I pass.
Thank you so much, Becca R. from Kentucky. Irene B., please share with us, followed by Betsy L.
Good morning. Thank you. It's Irene Diaz and David from Maryland, and it has been just a really great meeting. A lot of beautiful, beautiful, heartfelt shares. I'm going to be also kind of zoning in on the once we had to pay the price, it meant destruction of self-centeredness. One thing I love doing in the summer is reading. I just love to kick back and read a little bit. And I just saw a phrase in one of my books that said, don't let the enemy have a seat at your table. And I thought that was really interesting because for me, in my years of program and working and following the steps and just giving it my best effort, I never really realized that I have a lot of ego at the table, and that's part of the enemy. I think the acronym is ego means easing God out. Well, in my case, I I think I did more than Ezim. I think I thought I was a mini G God. Boy, that was scary. But at the time, I thought it was just fine. Thank you. That the God I knew didn't really care about my food, my weight, like the big stuff I'd go to him for, and that was just way wrong. But it's okay, because I found out in these rooms to be loved unconditionally. And the antidote to easing God out was to letting God in, surrender, you know, and that was another big word I had to learn through program. That surrender doesn't mean you just roll over and play dead. It means that you are surrendering something higher than yourself, that someone higher than you does have a divine order and a plan. And that really gave me courage in the midst of tremendous relapses to come back. The payoff today is that I'm neutral with food and abstinent. And that is a gift from God. That is not anything I tried for decades to do. So don't leave newcomers until the miracle happens, because there's a contentment with abstinence that blows your mind. It's just something I never expected, but it's very peaceful in the midst of life. In my case, I'm trying to move into a home that I bought with my children many, many months ago. And I sold our family home after my husband passed, my sweet guy, in 2019. But I'm still with a girlfriend in her lovely townhouse. I've known her for three decades. We're like sisters. But heck, I'd like to get into my new home. But my kids are having a hard time renovating, and they have a lot on their plate. So a little self-centered me gets all upset. And then I have to step back and say, wait a minute, they're doing the best they can. You know, you're safe, you're warm, you've got, you know, three squares, you're in a room. What's the problem? And the problem is I have to ease God big time back into my life. So thanks for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Irene D. from Maryland. Betsy L., please share with us.
I think it's Bessie. I think you called on me, which is Bessie O., but I just want to make sure I'm not... there wasn't actually a Bessie.
You're the one. You're the one, Bessie.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
All right. So, yes, my name is Bessie. Bessie with two S's. O from Colorado. And thank you for leading today. So what stands out to me in this paragraph is simple but not easy. And the not easy part for me is just the constant effort. I've been in program for 9 years, and I am most recently, just recently recovered. I finished my 12 step yesterday, and in my writing this morning, it was just like, you know, some fear was coming up, you know, because there's this pattern of recovery, letting up on my program, and then relapse. And so, you know, I was talking to my sponsor about it, and we were just, she just shared, you know, it's constant effort. And the simplicity of the program is really beautiful, and how yet I can get so attracted to complicating things, even complicating program. And in a conversation with someone yesterday, they shared with me that, you know, when they were seeking advice in their 12-step, it was like, don't try to do anything too fancy, you know, because the simplicity of this program is just following the instructions in this textbook. I think that's really all I have to say, but it's a beautiful paragraph, and thanks for letting me share. I pass.
Well, thank you so much, Bessie O. from Colorado. Now, Nadia B., please share with us.
Good morning, Dawn. Thank you so much for your service and taking the meeting. Thank you so much for everyone that involved here and keeps this meeting going. I'm so grateful to you guys. My name is Nadia B., gratefully recovered compulsive overeater in Connecticut. And I love this paragraph today, right? I always... simple but not easy, and that, you know, I must, Bill doesn't use must that much in his writing, but this one he is not hesitating. He says, I must turn in all things to the Father of Light. And, you know, for years and years, I thought I was the center. I was the light, and I was trying to enlighten a lot of people. Yesterday I was really enlightened by our speaker on special edition, something that stayed with me even today. You know, I thought that other people were imperfect version of me. And, you know, that belief system was really ingrained in me. It was a really, so today I wish I could say, you know, this comes naturally to me, but this way of life is what keeps me, what keeps my self-centeredness in at bay. And, you know, the destruction is a daily process for me. You know, I might have thought this morning that I was still to enlighten my husband or my child or my mother or whoever I could come in contact with. But the program really, the program of recovery, the 12 steps, help me see the true Father of life, you know, the true source of life. And it's definitely not me. So I don't have to waste my energy today on, you know, trying to plug everybody else into what I think they should think, believe, or do. And, you know, sometimes it's simple, but definitely not easy to do. So I am really grateful for this way of life and that I'm one of you guys and that, you know, I can, you know, that you can reflect the light for me, and I don't have to ever do it myself. You know, as an addict, I don't always trust what my mind says, just like I didn't with food, and that translates for me into other areas of my life. And I'm so grateful that God brought me into seeing this way of life. That is so perfect for me. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Nadia B. Cleaster J., will you share with us and let us know where you're calling from?
Can I be heard?
You sure can.
Okay. I almost hate to use Cleaster because it's like, how many Cleasters are on the line? But I just felt like I really wanted to share today because this has been something I'm really dealing with. And when I reread it and saw the self-centeredness, you know, it's kind of like that didn't really kind of my self-centeredness, but it's part of my self-righteousness that I try to justify. And entangled with that is my resentment. So when I look at the self-righteousness, the self-centeredness, you know, it's all about self. And I realize that I'm not healthy enough, I'm not God enough to be able to handle that. So for me, you know, I've heard a person talk about having a kind of a handkerchief, and that every morning they have to just say they give their will to God. And, you know, that visual thing really has helped me. Also, just hands up, you know, because what happens in my self-righteousness is I want to justify. I want to justify why I'm right, why someone else did wrong. And I realized that... you know, and I do also the person mentioned about not have letting that, you know, the enemy at your table. And I think that for me, when I get into my head stuff, you know, I'm not smart enough to do it, and I just have to surrender. And I think that for me is the part where I can let go of my self-righteousness or self-centeredness, that I have to really trust God. I have to say, God, take this, you know, and really... the work for me, it's almost like with my food. When I'm working it, I'm trying to get rid of it. I'm trying to justify it rather than just surrendering it. And for me, that's very different. So I don't know if that helps anybody, but when people were talking today, I'm just very thankful for the program, thankful for the moderator, thankful for the time to just kind of share. I always feel like I don't have anything really big to give. But I know when I was looking at me trying to handle that, I was trying to get rid of my self-righteousness or my self-centeredness. And I know that when he talks about stepping into the light, that that light is God or our higher power as we see it. Thank you for letting me share.
Well, thank you so much, Cleester J. We do have some time left, so I'd like to take one more name of someone who would like to share on the page 14, first paragraph.
Jerry D.
But not easy. Jerry D. Go ahead,
Jerry. Oh, thank you.
Oh, Terry.
Thank you.
Oh,
good
Terry
morning.
H. Go ahead.
Good morning. This is Terry D. from Virginia. I want to thank you so much. This has been a wonderful hour. Our power, the self-centeredness, and the self-righteousness. Yes, I certainly can relate, and I am really trying to give it all to God. And I noticed I still am running the show in many ways. I'm a compulsive overeater in recovery for today. And I'm grateful that I can start to see myself a little more clearly. And it does help to get out of my head and to move into my heart, but I can't force it. And I sometimes try to do that, and it just doesn't work. To give it all to God, to realize that the show is not my own anymore, is in practice, it just for this moment is not easy. It is not easy because I'm used to doing things my way, and I'm used to staying selfish most of the time. So it is a beautiful program to practice, and I'm very grateful that we have the 12 steps, and we have this beautiful big book, and we have each other, and that God is bringing us all together a moment at a time. And I will pass. Thanks so much.
Thank you so much, Terry D. from Virginia. We do have like a minute and a half left. Is there someone else who would like to share on this paragraph for a minute and a half share? Who hasn't shared in the last 3 days? Or like a minute?
Nirvana A.
Nirvana
Hi,
A.
Virginia.
Go ahead. Nirvana
so thank A. you everyone for the meetings every morning. I thank everyone. Also, I just wanted to say I was brought up in a Zoroastrian family, and the motto was good thoughts, good words, good deeds. Simple, but not easy. Like good words mean say the right thing at the right time. And so when I came to this program, they told me it's simple, but not easy. And you have to find a higher power that is very personal to you. And you have to surrender everything to that higher power. Very simple, but not easy, but it works, and it was well worth the effort and the work. And I thank everyone.
Beautiful. Thank you so much. And thank you to everyone who shared, making this meeting just really wonderful. We're now going to close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Shelley E. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Good morning, Dawn. Thanks for your service. I'm Shelley E., a gracefully recovered compulsive overeater in Arlington, Texas. I'm sorry. The Big Book, page 164. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.